All right, good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the September 3rd, 2019 meeting of the Ulster County Legislature's Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee. We're going to take a minute for the Pledge of Allegiance. Also, we'll have a moment of silence for State Senator William Larkin, who just passed away this week. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you, everybody. All right, tonight we have a special presentation. Oh, call for attendance, Mary?
Sure. Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Litz? Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Joseph Maloney?
Present.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Chairman Waltman?
Here. Okay. We're joined tonight by Linda Marston Reed from Arts Mid-Hudson. She's going to just speak to us briefly about the impact of arts in our local economy. And Linda, appreciate it. Would you want to come up here to the head of the class, which way everybody can hear and see you? And thank you very much for coming in. You know, a nicer teacher would have allowed the class to meet outside this evening. I think that would have been a much nicer way to have the meeting. Thank you, Linda.
For all of you I haven't personally met, I'm Linda Marsterita. I'm the Executive Director of Arts Mid-Hudson, and we are an arts service organization, and we have been serving Ulster County as the Arts Council since about 2008. We have changed our name to more reflect the area that we serve back in 2014, and now we are called Arts Mid-Hudson. And I brought with me a bunch of data because I knew I was talking to people that want to talk about the bottom line. So what we do, we've been in business since 1964. We're a nonprofit and we've been around for a long time. What we've tried to do as we have grown and served the area is we've tried to change to best serve the people here that live in this region. So that's our mission. We're a service organization. So one of the things we do, and the main thrust of our work, is we administer over $100,000 in arts funding from the New York State Council on the Arts. So that is distributed across Dutchess, Ulster, and Orange County. We administer $83,000 in arts funding from Dutchess County, and we are proudly administering the Ulster County Promotion Fund since 2008, and this year we distributed $51,000 across arts organizations from Woodstock to New Paltz to Kingston and all around Ulster County. Besides grants and funding programs, we do programming, exhibition opportunities, artists, networking events at all three counties, folk arts programming, and experiential and educational workshops. So what I found to prepare to bring into you today was a report that was filed in March of 2019, which this past year, and it was done by the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, which is part of the Department of Commerce, and the National Endowment on the Arts. And they tracked for 3 years, 2014, 15, and 16, so they could get a real honest data poll. And when I saw this report, I almost cried with joy, because the contribution of the arts to America's economy is equivalent to nearly half of Canada's total GDP, bigger than the economic output of Sweden or Switzerland, and we know that the arts account for more of the U.S. GDP than industry, such as construction, transportation, and agriculture. The arts have been growing much faster than the economy as a whole. Over the three-year period between 2014 and 16, the average annual growth rate was 4.2% compared to 2.2% growth rate for the entire American economy. So the powerful arts and culture industry is also export-based, which is extremely important. In 2016, the United States ran a $25 billion trade surplus for artistic and cultural goods and services, driven by its exports of movies, TV programs, video games, and more. That is more than 10 times the amount from a decade earlier in 2006, when the trade surplus in the arts was just $2 billion. More than 5 million Americans work in the arts and culture economy across the United States. After the Great Recession, employment in the sector rebounded alongside the larger recovery and produced more than 200,000 new jobs between that period of time of 2009 and 2016. In 2016, arts and culture employment generated nearly $400 billion in wages. Also, consumer spending on the arts is up both in real terms and as a percent of all consumer spending over the past couple of decades. The arts are not just an amenity, a form of intellectual enjoyment or spiritual enrichment, but as the report demonstrates, a key source of investment in today's economy. So here in Ulster County, we are fortunate that we're so close to a large metropolitan area, and the New York City metro area does draw a huge amount of the arts spending money. So we can look to Ulster County and recognize the work of the Hudson Valley Film Commission located in Woodstock. They refer local crew, cast, locations, vendors, post-production facilities, and since 2000, they have supported and worked on over 500 productions, creating thousands of jobs and over $200 million in regional economic development, especially in Ulster, Dutchess, and Orange counties. They do work throughout the Mid-Hudson region, the larger region of nine counties. Local arts-based Ulster County businesses also include Paper House Productions and Saugerties. They create planning books, stickers, and other paper items that are designed by local artists. In Kingston, Bailey Pottery Equipment sells their products worldwide and employs over 29 workers. R&F Encaustic Paints also sells their artist paints globally and employs over 20 people. So one of the things, you know, I'm always trying to find data to support why the arts are good in our community, even if you say I never go to arts things. But we see what the arts do. They create a multiplier effect. So one of the things we have tracked is that several of the people that have come to the R&F encaustic paint workshops are from across the country, and they stay here for about 5 days. They take these workshops that are day-long workshops for 5 days, and they get to know Kingston, and they see what a beautiful place this is. They start checking out real estate. They come back and buy a house. We've seen that many times. So that's just a tiny example of what the stories that I hear a lot as an executive director. A lot of the times I hear from people that are thinking of moving from New York City, and they're afraid that they're going to come out to the middle of nowhere and fall off the map. And I say, you don't understand. We are the middle of everything right now. Everybody's trying to find a piece to call their own here. And finally, artists and arts organizations are beginning to connect more people to this area. So another example I'd like to... How many of you have ever heard of or gone to Shadowlands Theater? I mean, it's out there at the far end of the county. But that is a really good example of what one small theater can do to an entire town. So when they have a play running, if you decide you want to go out to eat, you must make a reservation. You will not just drive up there and be able to eat out. The local restaurants there have thrived and grown, and Ellenville itself is kind of that little village area is looking pretty good. If you go off on the side streets, it's still struggling, but you know, the direct impact of Shadowlands Theater and those productions brings a lot of people through there. Looking at Kingston, so we have local events such as O Positive Festival, and we have Art Walk Kingston coming up in just a couple of weeks. That has now the largest art studio tour. It now has 140 artists that are sharing or showing their works in a couple of weeks. We have a lot of experiential activities. So we hear from people, again, coming from metropolitan areas. They want to find out where the best place to stay is. Can I get tickets for something or other? So these, again, the multiplier effect of having a robust artistic economy here in our community is excellent. So these are only just a couple of examples that I wanted to put out there for you. This is old data, so this is from several years ago. But several years ago, the arts things have contributed $15 million in direct expenditures to our county economy. Mm-hmm. And they bring an additional $8.5 million indirect funding, which creates jobs in other sectors, employment. The future plans for the exciting development of the Stockade Works here in Kingston will provide training for a diverse local workforce, and they'll provide access to entertainment and technology jobs and produce film and TV digital products. So we're really perfectly situated to take advantage of this and continue growing what we see as a very exciting arts-based economy. One of the things that report did talk about that was a little disturbing to me was that arts-based education programs funded through state or federal government have decreased. So in order to have people ready to take up the workforce, you know, for the next 10 years workforce, we really need arts education. And we need to make sure that the arts education goes out not just in our public schools, but for instance with mentorships like Stockade Works, you know, become a lighting designer, get a union job at UPAC, and you'll have a very enjoyable life here. So the one thing that we see a lot of in terms of statistics is that a lot of the kids that are in the public schools and don't really have an option to move to another place or see other opportunities, they're the ones that suffer. So we want to make sure that we keep them involved. The Hudson Valley is what they call graying out, which means a lot of the younger people that get educated leave to find jobs in other places like New York City or other larger economies. So in order to capture that youth component and make sure that they stay here, we really should be thinking about education and training. So I just want to end with a couple of things. The research shows that arts and culture are one of three sectors, with science and technology and business management, that drive regional economic development. So today's economy is not just knowledge or tech-based, but a broadly creative economy, which the arts and culture play a critical role. And then I'm going to leave you with a quote from one of our most outrageous visionaries, Andy Warhol. And he said, "Being good in business is the most fascinating kind of art. Making money is art, and working is art, and good business is the best art." Now, whatever you think about Andy Warhol, he was a creative genius. So I have some prints with a lot of those facts here, and I'm happy to leave them and anybody who's interested. But thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
If anybody has any questions or anything I can add on to, I'd
So, well, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for the time. I really appreciate it.
Important component of our local economy. Yeah, appreciate it.
Nice.
Thank you very much, Linda.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate it. That's very good. Thank you. Okay. All right. The meetings for the August 6th meeting were distributed via email. I would hope each of you had a chance to review them. I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the minutes from the August 6th meeting.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any comments or questions related to the minutes? Hearing none, call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes for the August 6th meeting?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. So we're going to slide right into resolutions, and we're going to shuffle the batting order here a little bit, folks. We're going to go first to resolution number 292, and we have Amanda LaValle here from the Department of the Environment to discuss it with us. Can I get a motion to related to accept
a motion?
Second. All right. Amanda? Please.
Thank you, and thank you for looking it up. I have another meeting regarding your question. This resolution is to accept, enter into a grant agreement, an intermediate school agreement with NYSERDA, to accept grant funds from them to do a transit electrification study for the UCAT fleet.
Excuse me, Amanda. Would you, for the recorder, would you be able to speak a little, or maybe you can come closer to the.
I'll try to speak
up. Okay.
It would fund a study of a plan to electrify the transit fleet for Ulster County Area Transit. The transit fleet represents about 20% of our total greenhouse gas emissions, and technology is coming online rapidly. All electric buses that can be used in a variety of settings, not just urban routes, but more rural routes. So what we're looking to do is to put out an RFP to work with a consultant that would look at the variety of our routes, how we drive, the train, the available technology, and work with us to develop a plan. So as we replace buses and as they become available for replacement, we would be doing so with the best technology available and electric buses. It also requires some bit of planning in order to charge those buses, so we would be also looking at what facilities we would need in order to support that electrified bus fleet. It's a grant opportunity that's usually larger consulting firms go after for very large transit authorities. However, they funded this application because they thought we were a good mix of urban and rural routes, and that it would hopefully be applicable to other mid-sized counties or transit authorities across New York State. There is some matching money coming in the form of staff time, and then also money that was already programmed with the Transportation Council. So we've been working with UCAT and the Transportation Council on this project.
Anyone have any questions or any discussion related to Resolution 392? And then I'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it passes unanimously. Amanda, thank you very much.
393.
Yep. We're going to go into Resolution Number 393, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, BAE Systems Controls Incorporated, UCAT. Can I get a motion?
Second. This is just renewing our contract with our warranty for our fleet of hybrid buses, which are, it's actually a good segue from Amanda's resolution, because our hybrid buses are coming up on their 10th year. And as a result, they need more repairs, and so this warranty would just cover any cost of sending them out. We do actually have an RFP out for electric buses already. It was just sent to purchasing, so it should be going out shortly, and those buses will be covered with Volkswagen funds. So those buses will take some time off the assembly line. So in the meantime, we have to use what we have. So it's just to extend our warranty for those buses. We have about 8.
Yeah. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, through the chair to the deputy director. So just two things. Number one, we had increased costs with those buses almost from the moment that we got them. So part of my question, is, obviously I get that we need to, keep them sustained, but are we seeing a cost escalation with regards to the maintenance of those buses, or is it basically in essence the same, same problems that we had, 5 years ago?
There's definitely an escalation because of the age of the buses. The good news is that we were just approved for FTA money to switch out some of the parts that are causing the problem. But if there is an engine problem, they would need to be sent out to, an outside shop beyond what UCAT has capabilities of. And this actually covers the repairs of when we send these buses out, which we've had to do with two of them in the past few months.
And then, the second part of that is just, still, my understanding is that the new buses that we'll be getting are going to be utilized in Kingston, which I can understand, but I'm also going to reiterate that, the loop is the other sort of, prime opportunity, just simply because that bus is continuously going around in New Paltz. It's making stops, but more importantly, it's probably the other urbanized area that we actually do localized service for.
Potentially one of the buses would be used in the loop, no?
We were thinking of the CL run, which runs from SUNY Ulster to SUNY New Paltz. However, upon further research, I think two of the buses will be in Kingston, and the third one, I think we really need to examine, and maybe the NYSERDA study can really show which route is the best one, because as we're talking to other agencies, for example, we talked to Capital District Transit, CDTA, recently, and they already have deployed electric buses, and, you know, it sounds nice, but the actual operation has presented different types of challenges, so... you know, what we originally thought may change, so we'll definitely keep New Paltz Loop in mind as we're still about, I think, 18 months away from actual delivery of the electric buses.
Any other questions or any more other discussion related to this resolution? And then I'll call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Folks, just so you know, we're gonna shift the lineup a little bit more with as the way the resolutions are presented. We're gonna begin with resolution 389 and work our way up through let's see, I guess it would be 394. This way with the plan, the people from the planning department here, we'll just go through all the resolutions. So yes.
Mr. Jay, if I may suggest further, if we can take all of the all of the Midtown Linear Park resolutions of block.
Yep, that was going to be that's where we were going, actually. Yeah, that would be resolutions.
Well, I'm making it as form as a motion.
Okay. So what? Okay. So that would be resolutions 389, 390, and 391, as I see it. So we'll block those three resolutions into one. Can I get a motion?
I
motion? Okay, so all those in favor of blocking those three resolutions?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No? Okay, so on the block, do I get a motion?
Well, I don't know if the deputy director. Oh, there he is.
I was hiding.
You're really good at being unassuming.
John.
So can we get it? I think we need to make a motion to.
I was just going to give him an opportunity to just say a few words about what the status of the project before we actually vote on the full block.
Before we proceed though, resolution 390. Excuse me. Resolution 390, I need to call to your attention. We have an updated figure on the amount that we're going to be voting on tonight. It says in your packet the dollar amount was $32,767, and that is changed now after they got the final numbers in to $32,945. So it's an increase of...
$178.
thank you. You did the math already for me. I thought you'd call it. It was a change of $178 increase. So,
Would you like an amendment, by the way? At the same time, Mr. Chair, before we vote, we may have blocked them.
Right.
You can still make amendments too. In this case, I will offer an amendment to Resolution 390 in the amount specified by the department.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Okay. Chris, please.
So, Resolution 389 is simply to sign a grant agreement with the community foundations of the Hudson Valley. This is money that the Novo Foundation had committed, and they donated it to the community foundations, and before we went much further, we wanted to get that agreement in place because March Gallagher is leaving Community Foundation, so we wanted to line up that grant before people forgot about it.
Yeah.
The second resolution, 390, amends the capital project. You had authorized the capital project in the amount of $165,000 for engineering, design, and also right-of-way incidentals. We needed a slight increase on that due to environmental complications. We're having to do a little bit more work on the old rail yard between O'Neill and Cornell Street. We have a few extra right-of-way incidental things that we had to address, so we're asking to increase that by $32,945. And again, when we had put this in, I thought I had the final number, and then it wasn't the final number. Resolution 391, after we've collected a lot of information on the project, we've submitted a final design report to NYSDOT, and at this point in the project, for us to get design approval, we have to do our seeker determination. So the very large file that you all have, which I apologize for, is the basis of your seeker finding. We're asking, I'm sure you've reviewed all of that and have agreed with us that this has no adverse impact on the environment. And in fact, it's a beneficial impact because we're cleaning up a toxic brownfield in one of the blocks. And all that soil
will be... That's the train yard?
Yeah, it's the old train yard. So we really are going to have to take 2 feet of the topsoil out of that, cap it, and backfill it.
That's
any other discussion or questions from legislators? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote on the block. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. And I guess we'll go on to Resolution 394, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the county by Cambridge Systematics Incorporated, Department of Planning.
Can I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on Resolution 394? Dennis,
the Transportation Council needs to do a road safety analysis. We're going to look at types of crashes that occur on various roads in the Elk County by category, where they occur by category. Part of our federal requirements as a federal problem plans organization. And we will be doing... once that is done, we'll go back and look at those locations that have the highest accident frequency, and we'll be doing, for 10 of those locations, we'll be doing a design to look at what solutions would be available for those locations. What this report gives you is literally a look at how accidents are occurring in the county by road type, and what those accidents are. And we've done some road safety analysis in the past. I'll give you an example of some of the surprises. We did a road safety analysis of Route 299 west of the Walk Hill. The surprise was two things. One is that the average speed on the road was somewhere between 54 and 57 miles an hour. And we measured that in three different locations.
What's the posted speed limit there?
There's no posted speed, so it's a county road. No posted speed equals 55 miles an hour. And there's been numerous requests to reduce that speed, but a good look at that, those speed studies would indicate to you that those requests would probably not be successful. And in two instances, they were not. The second thing is that the cause of accidents on the road, the road is relatively safe. The majority of the accidents are caused by animals. 42% of the accidents are caused by animals, and they take place in all times of the year, but they tend to increase during the fall. So one of the recommendations is actually to put up temporary signage on the road for those people that are using the road during the fall season, which may not be aware of the fact that there are substantial amounts of deer crossing that road, et cetera, et cetera. We also did work in Saugerties, and we also did work in Woodstock on 212 in both locations. And the Department of Transportation is following up with regard to that. This is a much more generalized study, but it will be much more helpful, I think, in terms of getting an understanding of why accidents are occurring and where they're occurring in the county. Cambridge Systematics is a nationally known firm for doing this. We're lucky to have them apply for the funding, and it's 100% federal money.
Legislator Nolan, please.
Just one question, since you mentioned it. For the area where the main cause of accidents is wildlife, would it be worth looking at the development of some wildlife passageways, such as a bridge or a tunnel?
We've looked at those, but the problem is that they're throughout the road length. There's quite a bit of road length out there. There's no individual place that stands out. It's just along the corridor in general because there's so much agriculture allowed in there. Mm-hmm. You get quite a bit of road passage back and forth.
Legislator Rodriguez.
My question was somewhat related insofar as I was going to say, is there certain types of fencing or other sort of, you know, possibilities to be able to sort of corral or to be able to sort of minimize some of that?
We haven't seen any best practices that would look at that, and given the... Given the sheer number of accidents and where they occur, it's hard for us to sort of say to the deer, go here versus there.
Well, no, but, based off of the number of accidents as to certain locations.
Yeah, and we didn't really find that. You know, there is some up around Butterville Road in those areas where the foothills of the mountains, and as you move up, there are some crossings in those locations. But there's really not a, there's really not enough data to say it would be effective to essentially sort of defense them off. What the consultants did recommend was actually fencing as it relates to signage as it relates to warning signs, and they would of a temporary nature.
Okay. And this is Cambridge.
What? Systematics.
Right, not Cambridge Analytics.
No, not Cambridge Analytics. No. Although I have made that mistake in the past.
I know. So
let's later Maloney, so, please, and then let's later
the law. So the biggest thing we've come up with so far is temporary signs. What concerns me is that you said that a speed limit change wouldn't work, which would be signs, and we'll put up a temporary sign. Are people gonna slow down because of a deer sign rather than a speed limit sign? And I tend to think that you'd either want an animal crossing or some kind of barrier in certain spots that eliminates, you know, what I imagine some of the accidents are around corners where the deer come out. I just don't think that a temporary sign, watch out for deer, is going to have a big impact. Have you seen studies in other areas
it's
where
it's practice?
What percentage?
I can't
does
tell
it
you
bring
that
it down from there.
There is a best practice with respect to variable message signs, and the issue with respect to seat speed is not that you wouldn't be able to slow traffic down with respect to seat signs. It's basically the fact that the state of New York controls speeds on county roads and they do a methodology for reducing speeds, and we have applied for speed reductions, and it wouldn't qualify in that basis. But what we wanted to do is follow up on some of the work that they did to make sure that we had a good basis to essentially what speeds were being traveled out there. And we did three locations out there, and anywhere between 54 and 57 miles an hour were.
If we believe after we've spent the money on a study and the only thing we come up with is temporary deer signs, that a lower speed limit would help, just assuming we wouldn't be approved,
we've
made the request.
Yeah, we've been denied twice.
All right.
Yeah.
When was the last time?
Fairly recently, I'd say between 2016 and 2018. One of the recommendations for a speed reduction is that section of road where you come from. A 55 mile an hour, you're headed east into village from 55 mile an hour into a 30 mile an hour speed limit when you hit the village. That's a relatively large reduction in speed in a very short period of time. And generally what happens on those types of roads is there's usually a reduction before you hit the village. Yeah. So the consultants did recommend that we look for a speed reduction in those areas, say from 55 to 45 or 40, and then coming into a 30 mile an hour zone when you hit the village. So that's part of the recommendation.
But around where the curve is before you basically
probably not as far as Libertyville Road, and probably past Springtown Road.
Legislator DeLong, please.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's going to be data with respect to accidents involving bicyclists too.
Yes. And we've done some of that data collection already. We've taken a look as far as 2017. We've taken a look at bicycle accidents on county roads and tried to characterize those accidents in terms of the segment of the road versus the whether it's above or beyond what's typical within the county. We have those segments, and I will tell you that Libertyville Road, essentially between where it hits 4455, where it hits 299 in the county park, has a high percentage of those types of accidents. So if we had to focus anything, we would focus in that area there. But that's the kind of data you're going to see. And it's also going to be in chart form as well. So you're going to get a sense of what the categories of accidents are, as well as their locations, as well as by the type of road.
There are also graphs.
Yes, there will be graphs as well. Pictures, too.
I should probably get a patent before I make this suggestion. But what we really need is an infrared sensor along the roadways that would then link to our speed reduction signs that says animal alert, 30 miles per hour. And if it would only click on when there was a warm body in the 10-foot right-of-way or on the road, I think that would solve this problem. So, Dennis, go for it, please.
We're going to call the question, I think.
All right.
Don't give away all your secrets there, Kathy. All those in favor of Resolution 394?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Well, thank you. That's carried unanimously. We'll move on then to the top of our agenda, if we will. Resolution number 378, adopting proposed local law number 3 of 2018, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter, local law number 2 of 2006, and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster, local law number 10 of 2008, to establish a Department of Economic Development.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Legislator Archer.
Can we move the effective date to January? We're in the midst of a budget cycle right now. It's going to take time anyway to go through all the motion, but to take effect on January 20th of 20 or January 1st, 2020?
I'll have to go and check with the other sponsors. All of us happen to be on Laws and Rules, which is obviously the next stop at this legislation,
right.
You know, before it's in front of us. So, but yeah, I mean, we can consider that.
What's your date now?
It's at the meeting.
Immediate. Oh. It's what?
Immediate.
I just think that we're in a budget cycle right now, so to do it for January makes sense.
So are you making it, you're proposing an amendment?
We don't have the rest of the...
No, it's here, because Laws and Rules has to do this, and since the sponsors have to then all agree, I'm just saying it's just easier that way.
Fair point.
I mean, but just, obviously, we'll take that back to Laws and Rules.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
Legislator Nolan?
I don't have it up in front of me yet. What is the estimated financial impact of this?
I mean... Probably none, because what you're basically doing is you're moving over the personnel rates.
The resolution, the
finance. The department.
Kathy, the resolution says financial impact $600 approximate advertising cost.
That's
listed in the resolution.
Yeah. Okay,
you're moving that personnel from.
Well, you said you didn't have it.
I didn't have it.
Planning.
But I don't know how much.
All right, you're moving people over from what is currently right now in planning over to where they're already budgeted. You're moving over to their own department.
This resolution doesn't call for the elimination of that department, does it? I mean,
the planning?
Yeah.
You'd be moving over everybody who is currently right now in a subdivision of planning into the department.
But, so I guess I don't understand the genesis of this. We have an office that is working and that is implementing, which is an executive function. And you're proposing to take those same people, but put them in the legislature, under the legislature's authority. Why?
Well, it's not under the legislature's authority. The only change that basically happens, in essence, is number one, it's a full-fledged department. Number two, that the director of said department would have to be nominated by the executive and approved by this legislature, just like every other department. And in addition, it's actually modeled after the language that we used for planning and lots of other departments, in which, yes, there are additional items that we can sort of ask of the department to go and do, but it's still, in essence, it functions the same way that, say, planning would. So, because that was, in fact, actually the impetus of the language taken by Nick when myself and then Chairman Ronk approached Nick to go and draft this back in 2017.
Thank you.
It was drafted in 2017.
Oh, okay. So and then it came.
We actually considered it. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Who was such a designated here? You and you. But it was actually on our agenda. I believe it may have been November of 2017. In that range, we then
that
carried it
over
in 2018.
Into.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Thank
all right.
You.
So, call for a vote.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, resolution number 382, requesting the New York State Legislature to introduce legislation removing the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency from Article 18A of the New York's General Municipal Law. Can I hear a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay, discussion. Legislator
sure.
Maloney.
I'd be interested to hear initial thoughts. This was, in my mind, a conversation starter. I think we all need to remember, I think all of us here, most people, I think, have had issues over the last couple of years or longer with the length of pilots, the types of businesses that have received them, the vetting, the lack thereof, the verification, the lack thereof clawbacks. At times, even the overall approach. I think one thing I need to add is, and talking to Legislator Rodriguez the other day, and he knows what I think of the current board, I think I need to put a good whereas in there on the strides we've taken over the past year or two. A lot of us in this room appointed and really did our due diligence appointing a board that we thought were ready to tackle some of the issues that were real in our own IDA and a lot of other IDAs. Another thing I would just like to point out is that the original state legislation went in about 50 years ago. And it was a different country and a different state. If you guys can all remember IBM, I mean, IBM was probably, I'd imagine, I don't know what percentage, but by far and away the biggest. I mean, I know that my district was basically built, and half my district was built by IBM's existence. It's a different model out there now. Those kinds of jobs, when we created this IDA to help us bring in manufacturing and industrial jobs, it's a different world. I don't think we're going to be bringing back the steel industry to Pittsburgh. I don't think we're bringing a lot. Global Foundries was a wonderful thing to hit Albany. There's not a lot of those. I think we have to look at the thruway on weekends and all the people, and which way they're traveling, and the tens of thousands of people we have coming up here, the great schools. And we have to start worrying about infrastructure. Just a couple of months ago in this, I don't know if you had taken over as chair yet, Brian, I'm trying to remember, but Suzanne Holt did a presentation. She said all she hears, the number one thing she hears when she gets phone calls in economic development is infrastructure, gas lines, water stuff. I really don't believe that the abatement approach, I think a lot of the good things I've seen come from the IDA has to do with bonding. I think incubators and things that I've talked to Randall Everett and Rick Scott about, Rick Jones about, are things I'd love to see our economic development department doing that don't always involve tax exemptions and pilots. And I think the vast majority of the pilots that I've seen given out over the last 5 or 6 years have a lot of issues, to say the least, and I think if we added them up, there's a net loss rather than a net gain to our constituents. So I really look at this as a conversation starter. When you start a true conversation and you're going to take a good long look into what we've done, and I don't think it's been done. I think that's something that us legislators could possibly do in some special meetings, to actually look, go through pilot by pilot and figure out whether this was the best way for this county over the last 5 or 6 years. And I think ultimately our state is eventually going to have this conversation. Is this the way forward? Because they were created in a very different world. And I think we can get a lot of the places we want to get without necessarily just giving away tax exemptions to projects many times that are started, that are the abatements, like I said, are way too long. We have no idea whether some of these people would be doing business here or expanding even without them. And as far as this board that is here now, they've worked on the pre-screening process. The UTEP changes that include taking, construction jobs that if you're adding on to a business and you come with your hand out, you're getting this money, and the jobs that you're creating are construction jobs for your add-on that you might be doing anyways. We have to start looking at these things. They're now recording and posting online the meetings. They have a much more well-defined housing policy, or they're almost there. So I don't want this to seem like this is an attack on our IDA board, because I have nothing but respect for what this board's done for the last year and a half. But at the same time, if we are going to have an honest conversation, the spectrum should start with dissolving, and in the middle should be a total overhaul, and on the other side should be some tweaking that I still need, that I think needs to be done. I truly believe IDAs and these pilots and tax exemptions are not the best way forward for economic development inside of government going into the future. And I stand by it. I put a lot of strong language into these whereas, and I stand by that language. I would be willing to tweak some of it. Like I said, I have to do something there to give the credit to this board that's here, because I don't want somebody hearing about probably just my idea, and I don't know if I'm going to get a lot of agreement, and think that this is some kind of an attack on the men and women that are there, because I think they've done a lot of impressive work. But a lot of it involved cleaning up a pretty broken process.
Okay. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Where to begin? So, I'm gonna try to be constructive about this. From my standpoint, I hear what you're saying, and I understand where you're coming from. You know, that said, I disagree with the methodology. That also said, I also know partly this is a response to some of the bad decisions made by previous boards. I mean, we don't have to go that far back to look at the IDA's clueless decision to go and endorse a project in New Paltz, you know, the Wilmorite project called Park Point, that literally helped to set case law in which a planning board was able to go and reject a project because an IDA had induced said project and for economic reasons was actually able to go and turn down the approval of that particular project. And that's something that began with the Ulster County IDA taking that decision, almost in flying in the face of the entire community. So we don't have to go that far back. That's only maybe about 8 years ago, something like that, 7 years ago, somewhere in that time range. And so, you know, we know, we actually just got through a suit with an applicant that was sort of led down the wrong path, so to speak, and then we actually just finished a court case that was actually decided in our favor after the IDA, for once, actually had turned down that application, right? So we know we've actually had this sort of checkered past when it comes to the types of projects that need to be induced. So I hear some of the genesis of where this resolution, you know, came from. You know, that said, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right, you know, just because the engine, you know, needs a tune-up, you don't go and throw out the entire car. You know, I think that we've sort of taken steps at this point by, number one, I think getting a new board in there. Number two, they soberly and taking their time and being deliberate about looking at the UTEP, putting into place things like the pre-screening so that way they can begin to identify problems with a potential applicant even before it gets to a more formal stage. I think that those were all, you know, sort of sensible steps. And so that said, I also don't want to dismiss what in essence is a frustration with all that can basically go away. And the reason why I say that is that it happened once. At one point in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, we had gone through a similar process by which we had to go and replace the vast majority of the board, put the matrix, that's actually the genesis of the matrix, by the way, back in 2006, you know, actually go through a process by which, you know, the number of applications, by the way, slowed down. And that's okay, by the way, that we don't have to go and induce projects, because some of these projects shouldn't be induced. Conceptually, but-for is in fact problematic, because while the statute may talk about but-for, think on that. That means that the marketplace is actually not able to go and sustain said project, and now we have to kind of go and sort of intervene by issuing bonds and by tax exempt bonds and actually issuing then at that point the sort of goodie bag, if you will, the tax exemptions on the construction materials as well as the mortgage recording tax. And by the way, the person who headed up that IDA was Marsh Gallagher. And, you know, she was a partner in that. And I've always appreciated her because of that. So I understand that Joe's concern is that even after all the good work that the board has done in the past 18 months, that can go away very quickly. So what I'm going to suggest, Mr. Chair, is that, and again, Joe, I hope you'll be okay with this. I'd like to just postpone it at this point. I think you need to rework your resolution to maybe something more palatable, but, you know, that's something that we can work on if you'd like. But at this time, I'd actually move to postpone. What resolution number is it?
382.
Second it?
I'm okay with postponement.
Okay with postponement?
I hope we continue to look at it.
Any other discussion?
Just a couple comments. I think this resolution does fail to acknowledge a lot of the work that's been going on for the last 18 months, of which, you know, we made significant changes in that board, and they have worked hard and are working hard to, you know, look at the UTEP and all of that. And I think also that it's misleading to say there's not a cost of disbanding, but because there is a cost of disbanding. The minute you disband, where you're putting what pilots are in place, you need oversight, and we need to continue to do the reporting and that. So there is a whole administrative element of this that is going to cost money if you were to disband. So, and to have a conversation about what hasn't worked in that is great. I guess this was your way of waving the flag and saying we should have that conversation. I think it's a, you know, it's unfortunate we couldn't have that conversation in a different way versus putting a resolution like this forward, which really I think undermines our current group without consideration of all the hard work that they've been doing over the last 18 months. And I've been going to their meetings, so I know the things they're working on, the governance meetings they're having, all the hard work they're, and the analysis they're doing to try and understand the levers on UTEMP and where it sends people over and where it doesn't. And that's some of the very things you're talking about are of concern. So I just would have liked to have seen another way of trying to get at this. So, but I appreciate what you did. I just don't agree with it.
Legislator Maloney?
Sure. I think, I don't know if anyone's, I know you're pretty involved with keeping up on the IDA. I've kept myself pretty involved, and I was pretty disappointed with a lot of things that have gone on. Some of the pressure, it's played out in the papers on these IDA members to the point where they felt that they had to answer publicly some of the things that have been said publicly and behind the scenes about them. And I was there all along the way to defend them and try to help them fight off the pressure while they clean up that IDA. And, you know, I've gotten some support, and I've also got mostly from people that are, you know, established and part of Ulster County politics that act like, you know, we're talking about a puppy that had some accidents and now I'm pushing to euthanize the thing. This is an IDA board that has given out millions and millions of dollars of my constituents' tax money. And if I offended anybody with strong language and a strong piece of legislation, I'm not going to apologize about it because I got a hotel that's not going to be paying taxes for 10 years right in my backyard, and there's a lot of people that aren't happy about it. I have the recording of the town board meeting where they basically rejected it. Suddenly it's approved. No one knows how or why. We're not even sure they advertised it correctly. We've been given out millions and millions and millions of dollars. And as I sit here today, the best, and this board has accomplished so much, but most of the accomplishments this board has accomplished, and now there a lot of them are on the, we don't know if they're coming back. I hope a couple of them do because we desperately need them. But their accomplishments are basically screening, UTEP changes, more defined housing policy. They're fighting off giving away the money to people and places and things that shouldn't be getting it. I mean, this is an IDA board. IDAs have combined to give out billions and billions of dollars in this state. And I just think to this, you know, a little bit of what I'm hearing on, oh, well, you know, the way it's worded, we need strong language. You know, James Skoufis is fight for his life in Albany to try to reform this IDA mess. He just, there was just some more stuff publicly today about real corruption inside of IDAs around the county. And I'm not even talking about necessary corruption a lot of the time.
State, I think you mean. You meant to say
all around. What did I say?
The county.
All around the state. I'm sorry. Yeah. But when it comes to our county, a lot of the issues I have is
incompetence. I mean, standalone hotels, according to general municipal law, are not supposed to be getting IDA pilots, and yet a couple of months ago I was fighting off a memorializing resolution that from this body asking our IDA to approve one in the town of Ulster. That's pressure coming from this body for our IDA members, public pressure to do something that is illegal.
Okay, Legislator Rodriguez, one more time, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, the issue, Joe, and again, I think you know, I hear what you're saying. It's just merely, you know, from my perspective, the IDA can be a tool for good. The problem is it rarely is used that way, or at least it's not used often enough. You know, as you may remember or not, the largest bond issue in the history of the IDA is still Woodland Pond, which created a good number of healthcare jobs, you know, within my community.
How many babies?
But the problem, no, the problem is you don't have many of those types of projects. Instead, the IDA has been misused in a number of, in essence, real estate projects to go and basically go and support, you know, in essence, you know, the you know, those who are insiders or those who have the knowledge of to even go to the IDA. And so I think it's more a matter of that it's been misused and not used appropriately. And so therefore, I think you may disagree with that statement, but I'm just that's my own two cents. And again, I think I share some of your concern about, well, what happens sort of going forward? How do we sort of continue to maintain, in essence, I think, an IDA that is used less often, that is used very specifically as a tool that, as it was intended, for job growth, for specifically wage growth? Because candidly, talking about job growth is basically, forgive my term, it's BS. It's not real. You know, the only thing that matters is payroll. And those are the types of projects that we want our IDA involved in. I think that that's something that Senator Skoufis, someone who you mentioned, shares our outlook. And I know that he's working on additional reforms in Albany that will affect all of us. So therefore, to a certain degree, some of those changes... We good? Or are you going to put on fiber? Okay, cool. Sorry. You know, so I think that some of that is going to be happening from Albany, both this year into next year, I think, as well. And so I think that some of those concerns that we may have are going to be addressed by Albany.
Okay, Legislator Nolan, one more time, please.
Yeah, I haven't spoken on this, but okay. I would just say that I think that the discussion and the resolution itself suggest that there are gaps in understanding or ways that things are phrased that could generate conflict or misunderstanding, unintended, I'm sure, that would best be worked on in a subcommittee in some form. A lot of people are concerned about IDAs and want to help make them better. Senator Skoufis, I think, has been doing a wonderful job, but he's not calling for dissolution of all the state's IDAs. And I think it's a big claim that we would be better off as a county not to have an IDA, that I would much rather take the approach that Legislator Rodriguez has suggested here of let's look at each of the elements and see if we can make this agency do what it's intended to do and do it transparently so that we know what it's doing and the public knows. And I think that would be a much better way to go.
Okay, do we have a motion to postpone?
I second.
Okay. We'll vote on the postponement. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Is there any old business? We have any old business we need to go over? Well, we can make up some. No, we're kidding. Hearing none, can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Thank you. And we'll adjourn again in memory of Senator William Larkin, who was quite a good representative. Thank you.